Oh, good morning. I read an article this morning by Maureen Dowd in the New York Times, where she coined the phrase, customized truth. That's the world we live in. There is no such thing as customized truth, of course. Even in the world of what you might consider relative and absolute, customized truth is not the same as relative truth. Relative truth might be something like the tide this morning is low tide at half a foot sea level. This afternoon at 6, it will be high tide at 3.5 feet. That's relative truth. The nature of water, the absolute truth, would be the nature of water is wetness, just as an example. I'm not suggesting that either of those have anything to do with ultimate reality or truth, but just from a relative compared to a customized truth. Customized truth, looking out over the desert landscape of our lives while we're sitting on a wellspring, by reaching out into this desert and seeing a mirage off in the distance with the sun reflecting off of the sand and thinking we will quench our thirst there. The whole time we're sitting on the wellspring. This is where ignorance takes its first leap. Identification with this idea that there's a missing part, something missing. Once you go into the world with the idea that something is missing, I guarantee there's somebody that will sell you something that will complete it. That's where the customized truth comes in. Oh, I'm definitely looking. Show me. Give me some direction. So what is the nature of suffering? Where does it start? So that's a really important step to recognize in when we're looking out into the world and what we're seeing our own mind, no one else's. We're seeing our own deluded view of a mirage. It's only mind. I'm afraid that as much as I would like to save all sentient beings, I'm not sure that I'm in a position to do it. Or are you? None of us who don't realize we're sitting on the wellspring can save anything. The wellspring is the same wellspring for all of us. Mine is not different from yours or for the rest of the planet. So if you don't approach everything that you need to do in front of you from a sense of lack or incompetence or inability, but just see what needs to be done and do it, you know, we talked about the ox herding pictures, and one of them is a stage where you've had a glimpse of emptiness. You kind of realize there's a wellspring, but it's only temporary because as soon as you see a mirage, you're already distracted and you're off chasing the mirage. So you have to pull in the reins, so to speak, of that ox of your own mind. And come back to the wellspring and go, oh, okay, it's not over there. And sometimes it can be really frustrating because you feel like someone or something is pulling you in the wrong direction. And it can be frustrating and can make you really angry. Or you can see that other people are being dragged off in the wrong direction because you've had a glimpse of it. You've had a glimpse of reality and you think, why are they doing this? Why are they chasing off after a customized truth that doesn't exist. How can they believe that? You know, anger and resentment comes up, and there's an us and them all of a sudden. You know, you've kind of lost the reins of the ox at that point. You're kind of like already caught up in the duality of it, searching for an answer somewhere where there isn't one. You know, in Zen, quite often, an answer to a question somebody might say, what is the Bodhidharma? And the teacher will say, cars are driving by. Waves are crashing. It's high tide. So why do these answers point at nature? To get us out of our heads and recognize right here, right now, it is just the way it is, the reality of it. Not the customized reality that we've created, that we're living in our minds. Getting back to the ox herding pictures, I was pretty stuck in this one place of having had a glimpse of the ox, but I couldn't stand the idea of living in New York City because I was afraid of being drawn into that chaotic world of the mind that all these people were living in with all their creativity. We're very creative in being able to customize the truth. And it was confusing and scary. And I just didn't want any part of it. I didn't want to kind of run away from it. So there's that stage in our development where we want to run away, go off into the mountains, live in a cave, and stay away from all this humanity crap. But that's not it. There's a dialogue between Linji and one of the students. The way Linji referred to him was, he said, he doesn't even know his feet are walking. So there's lots of places to kind of get stuck along the way because we just don't get that we're still playing in the realm of a customized truth, our own customized truth. Now, in this desert, there are beings who have gained some benefit personally through pursuing this false narrative, if you will, this idea that there's this spring off into the distance and that's where it all is. And so it's in their interest, they believe, to continue this story, even though they know it's not true. We have a lot of that going on. I think there's probably a huge percentage of the Republican Party that is doing exactly that. The Democratic Party too. Don't get me wrong, it's not one-sided. You intellectual liberals and your customized reality. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me the right is all wrong. You see, it's so easy to picture your customized reality, your customized truth as the truth. You're way off the mark that the election was stolen, or all these things that are being projected, or the Philippines, where the current new president of the Philippines is the son of the worst dictator the Philippines has ever had. And he's projecting himself on social media as a do-good, wonderful human being taking care of you. I know where your thirst will be quenched. Follow me. We keep doing this, you see, over and over again, as long as we don't recognize we're sitting on the wellspring. The grass is green, the sky is blue. When we say everybody has Buddha nature, it's not a joke. It's the only way to get it. And the only thing we can do to help is be really clear that we're sitting on the wellspring. We have our Buddha nature. There's nothing else we need. We're not lacking a single thing. It's all right there at our disposal to do with, to create with, to make the world a better place. It's all there. Nothing is lacking. So lack is a concept. The wellspring is a concept too. It's just a bunch of words trying to describe something that is beyond words. The grass is green, the sky is blue. But I feel like it's my job to keep pointing it out in one way or another, that everything we need, we already have. Because I think that's where it starts. It's that sense of lack, that something is missing, that doubt that sends us down this road that keeps creating suffering. So what is waking up? Waking up is waking up to the fact we have everything we need. We're connected, totally connected. You're the wetness. You're the nature of reality, just the way it is. So don't be fooled. And, you know, come back eventually to the marketplace, play with the children, and help people wake up. What else can we do? You know, you watch people suffer through their struggles, their self-doubt, their inability to handle life the way it is for them. And you'd like to help them. But you, at some point, you can only give so much help in the sense of direction without causing more pain or suffering yourself, because they need to do it themselves. You know, you can't make it happen for them. You can't make the world a good place. Everybody has to participate in that. You know, so it's not up to you. It's not up to me. Yet at the same time, you know, we just do what we can. It's great. It's wonderful. You can enjoy your life because you know you can take care of it. You can handle it. Whatever comes, you can deal with it. Because you're part of something much bigger than this small little idea of self that you may be carrying or holding on to. Wellspring has no end, has no beginning, no end. The wellspring is not limited in any sense. The only limits are the ones we place on it. Carry on. Quench your thirst. So, you know, I remember so celebrating the internet when I got that this was going to open the world up to all these new possibilities. You know, the whole .com era, it was like great wellspring of hope here. It was this quenching our thirst for knowledge and all the rest. And look what we have now. Lots of customized truths. You start with ignorance, you end up with ignorance. You know, it's a continuation. So all these tools and these wonderful things we have, it seems like it's just speeding things up for us. You know, our own self-destruction is sort of speeded up through all these tools that we have now. Or it could go the other way. You know, we don't really know. We don't really know how this is all going to play out. And we shouldn't assume we know. So remember that there was a lot of wonderful, really well-intended and still are beings involved in this whole world of information that are really doing their best to get it out there. And we're part of it. I mean, here I am on Zoom, right? And we send out these podcasts, and maybe people are finding them useful and getting something out of it. So we're doing it. And there's lots of other people doing it too. So there, the thing that's interesting to me is it all depends on who's looking. So if you don't recognize that you're sitting on the wellspring and you open up your browser, you're going to have a whole different view of the world than the person that knows they're sitting on the wellspring. Because the algorithm says, oh, an enlightened being, we better throw them a bunch of enlightened stuff. Oh, a deluded asshole. We know where to send him. So, you know, it's self-perpetuating. You're self-perpetuating. Your state of mind, your attitude towards life, it brings to you what you're putting out. So there are good things on the internet. So the precepts, right? The basic precept of not lying. Just imagine what the world would be like if nobody lied. Oh my God, right? What a world. It might still be chaos in a lot of respects, you know, but still. Customized truth drives me crazy. So thank you, Maureen Dowd, for that this morning. So now you know I do read. I do look at the news. I drink my cup of coffee. I go into the bathroom where my wife is getting ready and I start ranting. Oh my God, you won't believe what I just read. Sound familiar? So talk to me. What do you think? Yeah.
I've been reading it's a newsletter, it's called The Flip Side. Hmm. It's published daily, just a very quick thing. And it takes distillation of each of the kind of perspectives from a right-wing side and from a left-wing side. And just stacks them up kind of like alongside each other, and just says, and also provides a summary of each, saying this is how left-leaning outlets are responding to this. This is how pundits on the right are looking at this situation with the baby formula or whatever, you know, the whole things like that. And actually, it's quite enlightening. It's good to do that, to be able to see what people are saying from both sides of the argument, mm-hmm. the situation, whatever that, without having to, you know, kind of say, because in there are aspects of it that are on each side that make sense, that are cogent, as yeah. somebody's thought about it. Without getting into a position, you can see, okay, yeah, that has some merit.
Yeah. So I think both both sides have actually, to me, very little historical merit, because history always teaches that ignorance, greed, and anger mm-hmm. are constantly at work mm-hmm. in terms of creating the mess that we're in. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter whether you start out with a liberal point of view or a mm-hmm. conservative point of view, as long as those things are working, that's what we get. So, and then the rewriting of history, or the misunderstanding of history, like reading about Haiti and how did Haiti become the poorest country on the planet? Well, they were freed slaves for one thing. France made them pay them
reparations. Yes.
Reparations for what?
Yeah.
For being slaves? Yeah. I mean, you know, so, and then you look at everything's privatized. Mm-hmm. So they don't have social services there at all. You can't get a doctor, you can't get a phone, you can't get electricity. I mean, come on, this is the Americas. What are we doing here? So, you know, you look at all that and you look at, well, why do we ignore certain segments of society and just, you know, focus on others? So besides conservative or liberal, the issue is really much, it's really about how we approach humanity and the denying of the reality of it. It's like, wait a minute, this isn't about whether socialism or capitalism is better. It's about taking care of ourselves and what works best in this situation. You know, you holding on to this customized reality of conservatism or liberalism, some sort of label we put on it, and you're not seeing what a solution is because you're holding on to some idea. So solutions are not ideas. Solutions are solutions. You know, something we do. The yard needs to be raked up. You rake the yard. The neighbor needs a hand carrying the groceries in. You help the neighbor carry the groceries in. You know, you don't ignore them because they're black. You know, it's that kind of thing, that the very fundamental sort of ugliness of our character when we give in to our prejudices, our ideas, our thoughts of how things are, and we're not really allowing things to be the way they are because we don't accept it. We want it to be different because of some idea. And so I've gotten to the place where I don't want to be called a liberal anymore. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be called anything. I'm very pragmatic anymore. I just want solutions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't care about Democrats. I don't care about Republicans in terms of labels. I do care about how you treat other people. I do care about the lies you're perpetuating, no matter what you call yourself. I do care that you're ignoring the reality and the truth of how things are. Yeah, I care. But, you know, if I see a real mensch, a real human being running for something, I'm not going to care whether he's running as a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. If I get the feeling that this is a real guy or a real woman really wanting to do something that is appropriate, even though they don't have a chance, because the whole system is stacked up against them, you know, I can be very cynical about it on one hand. But at the other hand, I think that every time we take a step in the right direction, it gives the opportunity for more things to unfold, for more eyes and ears and hearts to hear that and see it, rather than get caught up in the sclerosed, you know, left and right view of things. But just be a mensch. And there are, you know, good people on all sides, you know, whatever they call themselves on the political spectrum. And there's some real bastards too. So I don't know what to say about it other than, you know, I hear what you're saying, that it's good to get both sides or many sides of the issue and look at it so you can get some perspective on it. But I think it comes down to really basic treating other human beings the way they should be treated and not take advantage of them or, you know, inflate your own life by taking something away from someone else. I just draw the line at not being a real human being towards other human beings. And again, it's quenching that thirst idea, you know? Being greedy, what does that mean? You don't have enough. If you have enough, you're not greedy. So it goes on. Sometimes I don't know how we fit in. You know, Zen is a very interesting perspective on life. And I'm all in, you know, but I just don't know how to make it available on a broader level than we already have. We just can't. I mean, I just don't know how. People, until they drag their ass across that desert and recognize for themselves it ain't there, it's got to be somewhere else. They got to drag their own ass in here. You can't make them come. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, when you sit and you meditate and you get reach samadhi and you feel connected to the whole universe, you know, how can you go out and be a greedy son of a bitch after that? I mean, really, you just, you know, it's not you anymore. You're just not that person. You're like, what is that? You know, how would you even go there? So that's the job.
There's no guarantees. We've just been through this whole thing with COVID, and there are people dying and to their last breath, in denial.
Yeah.
In denial.
Yeah.
Their last breath. So these aren't people that suddenly get it. Oh, yeah, okay, now I get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the analogy I would use is they chase all the way, you know, dying of thirst and start eating the sand, thinking it'll save them. And I laugh, but it's not funny. But yeah. So maybe the next time. Who knows what happens? You know, it's kind of like astronauts who get to go out into space and they see the Earth and they have this realization. What if dying is a little bit like that? What if dying is like, boom, all of a sudden you see it. You go, oh shit, I really had it wrong.
I've heard stories about people jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge and surviving. And one guy who actually wrote this said, yes, you know what? I was at the end and I just had enough and I couldn't take it anymore. Just my life was awful. He said, but on the way down, I remember thinking, you know what? I'm so bad at life.
Yeah. So apparently, it's like, yeah. Yeah. It wasn't all bad, come to think of it. Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that makes me really sad about people who commit suicide, I feel really bad because if they had just stopped long enough to get through that particular episode, the next thing might have changed their whole life. So thank you. Is there anything else other than what I ranted about that you want to talk about today? It was that third cup of coffee this morning. Yes.
I'd like to summarize, I think. This is what I truly believe. The only way I can save other people is by saving myself. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. So Dan will be here next Sunday with us. Yep. I'm encouraging him to bring something from his collection of great wisdom that I know he has. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully I will tune into it later because he will record it, hopefully. And he may also be running the show here on Wednesday night. I may still be here Wednesday night. I don't know yet. But if I am, I'm going to let him run the show anyway. So have a good week, everybody. See you when I see you.